Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, August 5th, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Security and threat intelligence has certainly been a big boon the last couple years, with many companies spending quite a bit of effort in expanding their capabilities here. Russ wrote a real neat diary about a little framework that he developed to do just that. One of the neat things he did here is how to convert to different formats, how to visualize some of the findings. So pretty neat diary if you're getting started with threat and security intelligence. One of my pet peeves with threat intelligence is always that people kind of indiscriminately collect various blacklists and other indicators of compromise without necessarily checking how much they apply actually to the business, and also collecting a lot of duplicate data. A lot of times what we find is that data being shown on one list is being reused on another list without explicitly noting so. So what you actually may end up doing is you think that this particular indicator of compromise is of high quality because it shows up on many different lists, but what really happened is one list introduced it and then the others essentially just copy the data. And crypto malware is going new routes by not just encrypting your desktop's hard disk, but now also encrypting your network storage devices. The latest sample being discussed is called SynoLocker, after going after Synology devices. Now, it does encrypt the files, not just if the drive happens to be mounted to an affected system. You have seen that certainly before, but in this case, it apparently attempts to actually exploit the Synology device on the network and then encrypt all files. This isn't particularly tricky because many users rely on these devices for backups. So one of the standard protections, of course, against CryptoLocker and the like is to have good backups. But once these backups are encrypted on your disk storage device, then of course, that's not really an option either. How this malware exactly enters the disk storage device isn't really clear, but there have been a number of firmware vulnerabilities in Synology devices in the past, so it's very possible and likely that it will just use one of these vulnerabilities to actually get access to the device. Synology is preparing an update and a statement to this particular case, but at this point I haven't seen it yet. Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, they will have something available. Theoretically, of course, other makers of disk storage devices are vulnerable too, but somehow Synology seems to be the big target among those disk storage devices lately. In Virus Bulletin, published an interesting analysis of a new version of IcoScript, a remote admin tool, of course, of the malicious kind, that added a communication via Yahoo Mail to its arsenal. Now, initially, I wasn't really all that excited. Sending email in order to do command control is certainly nothing that terribly new. The difference here is that they're actually using the web interface, so the webmail interface of Yahoo Mail, to send these messages. They do so quite stealthy. For example, they're using the Internet Explorer process to send these messages, which then of course also has whatever proxy token or so the user has configured enabled, and is probably going to sort of drown in all the noise that you have on a typical network. Right now they're just observing Yahoo Mail, but they point out this could easily be changed to any other webmail system, like for example Gmail. And two-factor authentication is under fire again, this time PayPal's implementation. Turns out that you can bypass PayPal's implementation by just using a feature that apparently was put into place to integrate with eBay. If eBay redirects you to PayPal, PayPal apparently doesn't necessarily check if you actually logged into eBay with two-factor authentication, and as a result, you may be able now to log into PayPal without presenting your second factor. As of right now, there is no fix for this problem. The blog that describes this issue did publish a proof of concept link. If you click on the link, then you will be able to link a PayPal account to your eBay account, and then you'll be able to log into the PayPal account using your eBay account without ever having to present the second factor. Lesson here, even for two-factor authentication, please still use strong passwords. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.